When Bill Gates first encountered the global burden of disease study in 1993, it transformed his understanding of global health priorities and ultimately led to billions in vaccine funding that saved millions of children's lives. It was seeing that data, that early visualization, that's nowhere near what we've got today, that got the Gates Foundation on the track of focusing on global health, Gates would later reflect. The revolutionary work behind this transformation came from Dr. Christopher Murray, whose obsessive quest to accurately measure global health has been called comparable to sequencing the human genome by medical journal editors. This epic journey, from a 10-year-old boy serving as pharmacist in a remote African hospital to creating the most comprehensive health measurement system in history, reveals how accurate data can save more lives than many medical interventions themselves. In March 1973, 10-year-old Chris Murray found himself navigating the treacherous Sahara Desert with his family, meticulously studying a 1 to 4 million scale map as they traveled toward Diffa, Niger. The journey itself was a testament to the family's determination, crossing endless sand dunes and weathering intense heat in their Land Rover. The Murrays, Father John, a cardiologist, Mother Anne, a microbiologist, and their three children, discovered upon arrival that the hospital was merely two prefab buildings with no electricity, water, or supplies. The stark reality of healthcare in one of the world's poorest regions stood before them: bare rooms, minimal equipment, and an overwhelming number of patients waiting for care. Rather than retreat, they stayed, transforming the bare facility into a functioning clinic through ingenuity and determination. Young Chris, showing early signs of his future calling, took on the role of pharmacist and errand boy, carefully organizing their limited medical supplies and learning to compound basic medications. He maintained detailed inventory lists and developed systems to track patient treatments, demonstrating an early aptitude for systematic thinking and data management. While his siblings were deeply troubled by the suffering they witnessed, the endless stream of malnourished children, the mothers walking days through the desert seeking help, Chris emulated his parents' stoicism, channeling emotions into work. He encountered anthrax, tuberculosis, and countless malnourished children, learning to diagnose conditions through careful observation and pattern recognition. The family made a startling discovery that would influence global health practices. Despite the severe drought and famine, locals were free of malaria until admitted to the hospital. John hypothesized that iron in nutritional supplements might be nurturing parasites, and their methodical research confirmed this connection, challenging the conventional approach to treating malnutrition in malaria endemic regions. Their groundbreaking findings were published in The Lancet as Refeeding Malaria and Hyperferemia, authored by Murray, 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 and Murray, though Chris was too young to be credited. This experience introduced young Chris to the power of scientific publication and the importance of challenging established medical practices. In subsequent years, Chris joined his parents on medical missions throughout Africa, from Sudan to Tanzania, publishing his first scientific paper at 13 on the relationship between nutrition and infection. By high school graduation, the once quiet boy had become valedictorian while continuing his work abroad, having already contributed to several significant public health discoveries. This formative experience instilled in Murray a fundamental principle that would guide his life's work. Conventional wisdom could kill, while science, particularly accurate measurement, could save lives. The years in Niger taught him the critical importance of data collection and analysis in healthcare delivery. It also gave him firsthand experience with the devastating reality that in much of the world, people died without anyone recording why, making prevention nearly impossible. This observation would later drive his creation of revolutionary global health metrics and measurement systems. At Oxford University, Murray encountered a disturbing reality in global health statistics that would reshape his career trajectory. While examining mortality data across developing nations, he discovered not just gaps, but gaping chasms in health information systems. Most developing countries lacked basic vital registration systems, the fundamental infrastructure for recording births, deaths, and causes of death. This forced international agencies to rely heavily on statistical models and estimates, leading to dramatic inconsistencies. The most striking example was the Democratic Republic of Congo, where different agencies' life expectancy estimates varied by an astounding 16.5 years. Essentially, the difference between dying in middle age versus reaching retirement. These data discrepancies had real-world consequences. Countries like Bangladesh and North Korea inexplicably appeared on best performers lists, despite having notoriously opaque reporting systems and questionable healthcare infrastructure. The uncertainty in the numbers meant billions in aid money could be misallocated, and successful health interventions might go unrecognized while failed programs continued receiving funding. Murray's relentless investigation led him to Alan Lopez, an Australian statistician at WHO who had independently reached similar troubling conclusions. Their partnership would prove transformative for global health metrics. Their first collaborative analysis revealed a shocking statistical nightmare. Comparing WHO's disease-specific mortality estimates with UN demographic data showed a 50% global discrepancy in child deaths, rising to 200% in some African regions. In practical terms, this meant either 10 million dying children were being missed or invented in the statistics each year, a margin of error larger than the entire population of many countries. The root cause lay in WHO's siloed organizational structure. Separate teams focusing on specific diseases, diarrhea, pneumonia, malaria, measles, and others, each produced independent mortality estimates without cross-referencing their figures. This led to massive double counting, particularly of vulnerable children who often suffered from multiple conditions simultaneously. A child dying from pneumonia complicated by malaria might be counted twice or even three times in different disease program statistics. Murray's doctoral research uncovered even more systematic problems. He found that UN and World Bank statistics frequently relied on simplistic mathematical formulas rather than actual data collection. Many African countries' life expectancy estimates followed suspiciously identical patterns, suggesting they were derived from theoretical models rather than real-world conditions. The UN Demographic Yearbook, considered an authoritative source, simply published whatever figures governments submitted without verification. This led to implausible statistics, such as Pakistan's reported life expectancy supposedly increasing by 7.3 years in just 12 months, a demographic impossibility under normal circumstances. The transparency movement initiated by Lopez and Murray exposed an uncomfortable truth. The global health community was operating largely in the dark. Billions of dollars were being allocated for health interventions without reliable baseline data to target resources effectively or measure outcomes. Their work highlighted the urgent need for better data collection systems and more rigorous statistical methods in global health, a challenge that would require fundamental changes in how health organizations operated and coordinated their efforts. Murray's work at Harvard's Center for Population and Development Studies revealed the shocking 10-90 gap. Developing countries suffered over 90% of global health problems, but received less than 10% of health research investments. His tuberculosis research showed that despite TB killing 2.5 million people annually, more than any other single pathogen, it received minimal attention from researchers. His advocacy led to a $50 million World Bank investment in China's TB control and WHO endorsement of short-course therapy, ultimately saving millions of lives. But Murray and Lopez's most revolutionary contribution was creating a new metric, the Disability Adjusted Life Year, DALY, that would transform global health measurement by combining years of life lost with years lived with disability. As Lopez recognized, this was an extraordinarily beautiful and extraordinarily useful policy tool. The World Bank's 1993 World Development Report showcased this approach, with Dean Jameson appointing 29-year-old Murray to lead the Global Burden of Disease Study. For Murray and Lopez, this was their chance to create a comprehensive science of health measurement with real-world impact. To compare different disabilities with early death, they created a revolutionary 0-to-1 scale, 0 being perfect health, 1 being death, that initially seemed impossibly subjective but generated remarkable consensus among expert panels. The resulting severity weights ranged from minor conditions like vitiligo, 0.00 to 0.02, to devastating ones like quadriplegia or severe dementia, 0.70 to 1.0. When Murray and Lopez presented their preliminary findings at WHO headquarters in December 1992, they revealed shocking misalignments between health resources and actual needs. While over 90% of WHO resources targeted communicable diseases and maternal child health issues, these accounted for only 46% of global health loss. Non-communicable diseases represented 42% of health burden and injuries 12%, yet the WHO Injury Prevention Program had just one staffer. After similar pushback at Harvard from economists questioning their methodology, Murray and Lopez made their final push. With their deadline approaching, they worked marathon sessions in a converted Maine barn, fueled by determination and Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Drawing on Lopez's formative experiences at Australia's demanding Aquinas College, where near enough is not good enough, they completed the groundbreaking 1993 World Development Report that introduced dollies and transformed our understanding of global health. After the 1993 World Development Report introduced their revolutionary approach, Murray and Lopez faced the challenge of getting policymakers to accept their methodology. Their work gained recognition as advocates for overlooked conditions like psychiatric treatment and injury prevention used their findings to lobby for funding. In Mexico, Julio Frank embraced the daily concept to transform his country's health system through the Health and the Economy Initiative, which matched health problems with cost-effective solutions. When Gro Harlem Brundtland became WHO Director General in 1998, she recruited Murray to help reform the organization, offering him a chance to implement his ideas globally. Murray announced that WHO would now make its own official estimates of illness, injury, and death rather than relying on member governments' data. This radical shift transformed WHO into a sophisticated data analysis center. By early 1999, Murray expanded his vision to create the 2000 World Health Report, which would rank member nations' health systems based on multiple factors, including health outcomes, improvement rates, equity gaps, and financial efficiency. Despite fierce internal opposition, Director General Brundtland supported the ambitious project. The 2000 World Health Report's release sparked global controversy with its health system rankings. When Brundtland announced her departure in 2002, Murray's reform agenda faced uncertainty. The new Director General, John Wook Lee, abruptly moved Murray from his position. With Alan Lopez having left for Australia, Murray's burden of disease team was decimated, from 22 staff to just 2. At 40 years old, Murray was relegated to an advisor role with no responsibilities. Despite this setback, the burden of disease work was proving transformative in countries worldwide. In Mexico, Julio Frank used national burden data to design Seguro Popular, a health insurance program that would cover 52 million previously uninsured Mexicans. By 2012, Mexico achieved universal health coverage with dramatic improvements in outcomes. Child mortality dropped to 1/10 of its 1950 rate. Similar successes emerged worldwide. Iran addressed its leading health burdens, road accidents resulting in the transport minister's firing, mental health issues including hidden female suicides, and cardiovascular disease. Australia provided free depression therapy while cutting ineffective prostate screenings. Thailand expanded HIV treatment and heart disease prevention. Vietnam mandated motorcycle helmets overnight after seeing collision data. After his contentious demotion at WHO, Murray began an ambitious quest to establish an independent Global Health Metrics Institute that would be free from political interference. His vision was to create an organization that would produce unbiased, scientifically rigorous health data. In spring 2004, a fortuitous connection led Murray to Oracle founder Larry Ellison, whose interest in data-driven solutions aligned perfectly with Murray's mission. Ellison, known for his bold decision-making and competitive spirit, showed immediate enthusiasm for funding independent health metrics, and even incorporated Murray into his inner circle, including invitations to sail on his America's Cup racing yacht. The relationship culminated in spring 2005 when Murray and Harvard president Larry Summers traveled to Ellison's spectacular $200 million Japanese-inspired estate in Woodside, California. The meeting seemed to herald a new era in global health research, with Ellison promising what would have been the largest gift in Harvard's history, an extraordinary commitment of $115 million in initial funding, followed by $50 million annually. During this period of anticipated funding, Murray married fellow epidemiologist Emanuela Gakidou and began assembling an elite team of researchers and data scientists. However, the months of waiting turned into a crushing disappointment when Ellison unexpectedly redirected his philanthropic interests, leaving Murray's dream in limbo. Undeterred by this setback, Murray joined forces with renowned global health advocates Jim Kim and Paul Farmer to approach the Gates Foundation. While their initial pitch for a Rwanda healthcare project didn't gain traction, Murray's passionate presentation on health metrics struck a chord with Bill Gates. The Microsoft founder had a personal connection to Murray's work, having been profoundly influenced by the original Global Burden of Disease study in the 1993 World Development Report. Unlike Ellison's theatrical flair, Gates approached the proposal with methodical analysis and scientific curiosity. Gates embraced Murray's vision, but was adamant about one crucial detail. The institute needed to be established in Seattle, not at Harvard. His famous declaration, "I'm not giving money to Harvard," reflected both his local loyalty and strategic thinking about institutional independence. By January 2007, the Gates Foundation had committed $105 million to create the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, IHME, at the University of Washington. Murray later reflected on this pivotal moment. There was a window there when the whole global burden construct could have died. He took time to realize if he wanted it, he'd have to fund it. On July 1, 2007, IHME opened its doors with $125 million in total pledges, $30 million in immediate grants, and a skeleton crew of just 3 employees. This modest beginning would soon evolve into one of the world's most influential health research institutions, proving that sometimes the most significant achievements arise from apparent defeat. The IHME team's quest for data was relentless and often required creative solutions to seemingly impossible challenges. Peter Speier's team exemplified this determination when retrieving crucial Iraqi health data through an elaborate chain of connections, ultimately orchestrating the delivery of a CD from Baghdad to Atlanta to Seattle during a period of significant regional instability. This was just one example of the lengths the team would go to ensure comprehensive data collection. Beyond such individual efforts, the team processed an overwhelming volume of information, approximately 10,000 epidemiology articles published monthly, each requiring careful analysis and integration into their growing database. IHME's operation expanded dramatically, necessitating a move to Seattle's Belltown neighborhood, where they established a state-of-the-art facility with a secure supercomputer cluster at the University of Washington. Their data collection efforts were extraordinarily comprehensive, spanning diverse sources. International Labor Organization injury figures, detailed water source proximity statistics relative to drowning risks, pig population data for sarcosis analysis, and countless other specialized data sets. This breadth of information allowed for unprecedented analysis of health factors across multiple dimensions. The project attracted 32 talented research fellows, mostly recent college graduates, who committed to 2 or 3-year terms. These number crunchers brought diverse perspectives to the work, with many coming from backgrounds in economics, sociology, and anthropology rather than traditional statistics. This interdisciplinary approach proved valuable as they worked intensively with faculty to transform vast amounts of raw data into meaningful health estimates, often developing innovative methodological approaches in the process. By 2012, the project had grown exponentially to include 50 full-time faculty and staff at IHME, collaborating with nearly 500 co-authors across 50 countries. Murray had dramatically expanded the study's scope from his initial proposal, creating what would become the most comprehensive health assessment ever attempted. The project now tracked 291 distinct ailments and 67 risk factors, analyzed by age and sex across 187 countries, with data spanning from 1990 to 2010. This expansion required sophisticated statistical modeling and careful validation processes to ensure accuracy across such a vast data set. The Global Burden Study generated significant controversy within the global health community as the differences in estimates became apparent. The discrepancies were substantial: thousands of maternal deaths, 600,000 malaria deaths, 650,000 child deaths, differences that accumulated across 235 causes of death for 20 age groups. These variations from previously accepted figures challenged established paradigms and institutional estimates. Murray and Lopez stood firm against critics, maintaining that being right was all that mattered, even as upstarts challenging established authorities. They backed their positions with rigorous methodology and transparent data analysis. Throughout this ambitious undertaking, Murray and Lopez maintained their decades-long partnership, characterized by mutual respect and shared vision. They continued addressing each other as Chris and Alan, or occasionally Dr. Murray and Dr. Lopez when teasing, with Lopez being one of the few who sometimes called Murray Christopher. Their relationship exemplified the kind of long-term collaborative spirit necessary for such an ambitious project. Their shared mission to objectively measure global health remained unchanged after nearly 30 years of collaboration, demonstrating remarkable consistency and purpose despite the evolving challenges and scope of their work. In June 2012, Chris Murray and his team presented the complete Global Burden of Disease Study to IHME's board of directors and distinguished global health leaders. After two decades of work, it was time to reveal the big picture. The presentation revealed two major conclusions. Humanity's health efforts had made tremendous progress, but many urgent needs remained unaddressed even at the highest policy levels. Life expectancy had increased dramatically worldwide. Global averages in 2010 matched the best-off countries from 1970. Child mortality had plummeted, with children under 10 60 to 70% less likely to die than in 1970, saving nearly 20 million lives annually. However, progress was uneven across age groups. While infectious diseases in children had declined, injuries had become leading killers of teens and young adults, with little improvement over decades. Murray's presentation revealed that disability followed different patterns than mortality. Women had a survival advantage, but suffered more disability than men of the same age. In wealthy Andorra, women could expect to lose 16 years of healthy life to illness and disability, despite their 85.2-year life expectancy. Murray emphasized that aging inevitably brings disability. We're adding years of life at the point disability goes up exponentially with age. It's part of the human condition. The leading global causes of disability were surprisingly consistent worldwide. Low back pain, up 43% since 1990, major depression, up 37%, and iron deficiency anemia, down 1%. The top 10 included neck pain, COPD, musculoskeletal disorders, anxiety, migraines, diabetes, and fall injuries, most worsening significantly. Even in central sub-Saharan Africa, depression and back pain ranked second and third for disability burden. The comprehensive picture combining both death and disability revealed a shifting landscape. Ischemic heart disease ranked first, up 29% since 1990. followed by lower respiratory infections, stroke, diarrheal diseases, and HIV/AIDS. Low back pain ranked sixth, causing more health loss than murder, malnutrition, lung cancer, or tuberculosis. Murray's team achieved their dream of publishing in The Lancet, which devoted its longest ever issue entirely to the Global Burden of Disease study. On December 13, 2012, the journal released the unprecedented triple-sized issue featuring 7 fully accepted GBD papers and an overview commentary. Editor Richard Horton called it a landmark event comparable to sequencing the human genome. Within hours, global media covered the findings, with headlines highlighting revelations about blood pressure, chronic disease trends, and changing mortality patterns. The IHME's interactive visualizations attracted thousands of users instantly, requiring emergency capacity increases to handle the traffic. Bill Gates, taking notes throughout Murray's presentation at a major release event, later emphasized how measurement drives progress in health. He recalled how the original 1993 global burden findings had shocked him into action, leading to billions in vaccine funding that saved millions of children's lives. Despite IHME's technical excellence, an independent evaluation had given them a C for external cooperation, noting tension with UN agencies. As Richard Horton put it, "Good science is polarizing, from Galileo to Chris Murray." By 2013, Murray was actively building better partnerships, establishing regional directors worldwide to recruit country-specific experts. The impact was already evident, from the UK developing specific health policies based on their country report, to Rwanda launching a clean cookstove program after learning household air pollution was their leading risk factor. IHME's county-by-county health maps made startling comparisons impossible to ignore, showing Americans in certain counties had the same life expectancy as people in Panama, Vietnam, or Syria, depending on location. The global burden of disease findings offer practical applications for governments, health departments, and individuals seeking longer, healthier lives. Diet emerged as the top risk factor. Aim for 300 grams of fruit and 114 grams of nut seeds weekly. Reduce salt, avoid processed meats, and consume omega-3 fatty acids. Even eliminating sugary beverages would provide 3 times the health benefit of eliminating secondhand smoke. Education correlates more strongly with health than wealth. Countries with better educated women have dramatically lower mortality rates, as education improves health decision-making and reduces high-risk pregnancies. Japan leads in healthy life expectancy through education, hygiene, government-led public health programs, and traditional diet patterns. Americans could gain 4 years of healthy life by adopting similar approaches. From a 10-year-old boy navigating the Sahara to a global health revolutionary, Chris Murray's journey shows how accurate measurement can save more lives than many medical interventions. His work continues to transform how we understand and address health challenges worldwide, proving that in global health, what gets measured gets improved.